Congregation, today we were privileged to witness the baptism of Paige Molly DeVries. And what a blessing new birth is. But with that blessing comes great responsibility for parents. Our children need to be loved, they need to be fed, clothed, protected, guided, trained, challenged, disciplined, and a whole lot more. And the responsibility for that lies in the first place with the parents. It does not lie in the first place with the grandparents or the Christian school or even the church. It is our prayer, of course, that grandparents and the Christian school and churches will complement what parents teach at home. And thankfully, Scripture is not quiet on how we should train our children. In Deuteronomy 6, we read about God's instruction to the parents, how they are to teach their children. And notice it doesn't just say mention this or that, but it says impress it on their hearts, be diligent about it. When you rise, when you walk along the way, when you are at home, when you sit down, when you lay down with them to sleep, teach them to love God and keep His commandments. It's a 24/7 task. And in Ephesians 6, Paul calls on children to honour their parents and for parents, particularly fathers, not to exasperate their children, not to provoke them, but to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, this doesn't mean that our children shouldn't be taught other disciplines. Of course they should be. But teaching them about our faithful God and what He has done for us, particularly in the Lord Jesus Christ, should be our first priority as parents. Now, when you look at the history of the Old Testament, parents in the Old Testament didn't do that all that well. Judges 2 verse 10 reminds us that despite God's mighty acts of deliverance and that He brought them to the promised land with His powerful hand, only after one generation had died, we read that the next generation did not know God, nor what He had done. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? When you think of all those powerful miracles that God performed to redeem His people. The miracles that He performed while they were in the wilderness, when He brought them to the promised land. After one generation, the people did not know God, nor what He had done. And I dare say the record isn't all that much better in the New Testament, especially in Western nations today. You would think that after the birth of Christ and our wonderful forgiveness and salvation, parents would be telling their children and training their children to love the Lord for what He has done. And yet so often it's not the case. Then again, those of us who are privileged to be parents and who are conscientious about training and teaching our children know how difficult it is. You need the wisdom of Solomon. And that's where our text comes from today. Proverbs 22 verse 6, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not return from it. Now, I don't want you to quote this verse of Scripture inappropriately. Sure, it is on this scriptural principle that all education rests. However, we must not imagine that these words are to be understood in an absolute sense. For there are many children who have been trained in the way that they should go and have for some reason rebelled against that training and gone their own way to the huge disappointment of their parents. As the saying goes, sometimes the best parents seem to have the worst children. And during my years in ministry, I have had to listen to parents lamenting that their children do not love the Lord. That they've left home. In fact, that they don't even love them as parents. It's a sad tale. I've listened to parents confessing that they didn't train their children when they were young. They were constantly busy buying bigger houses, the new car, a new wardrobe, an overseas holiday. But they left the most important thing, to teach their children about the Lord Jesus Christ, undone. What a tragedy. You only have one chance. They are here for such a short time under our control. Now, of course, the way our children turn out has much to do with God's grace. Yet it is wrong to think that we, guided by Scripture and with the help of the Holy Spirit, cannot have an impact on our children's future. In this regard, we're not hyper-Calvinists, are we? We don't just say, well, we'll leave it up to God and whatever happens, happens. No. We don't do that. The Jesuit Francis Xavier said, give me the child until he is seven and I'll give you the man. Steve Farrer, in his book Anchorman, suggests that as parents, we can influence our children up to four generations. In other words, it's in their formative years that we can have the greatest impact on our children. So, let me encourage you to do the job that God has called on us to do. To teach and train our children when they are young. But of course that raises the question, what are we going to teach them? Well, if you're going to answer that question, you need to answer it first for yourselves. If we are going to train our children, then we as parents need to first train ourselves. For what we are as parents is in a large part what our children will turn out to be. Our children learn most from us as parents. And believe it or not, to our children, we are absolutely transparent. They know how we tick. If we have no time for our children when they are small, then they will more than likely grow up and have no time for you or the things you stand for. Or what's important to you. If our hands as parents are morally dirty, then our children's lives will probably be morally dirty as well. If we as parents, all that we can think about and do is chase the mighty dollar, then our children will probably do that as well. You see, if our children are going to learn the art of obedience and loyalty, then they need to learn that skill from their parents. Our children will probably never be more obedient and loyal than we are as parents. If our children can see that we are genuine in our own faith and obedient to our Lord and Saviour in our conduct, in the way we behave, in the way we speak, that they can see we love Him and trust Him. If they hear a careful tongue and a gentle spirit, then they too will breathe that in with every breath. Of course, unfortunately, the opposite is also true. And if you've ever taught children, whether it be in the classroom or at Sunday school or in a catechism class, then you will soon realise that children nearly always reflect the upbringing they receive at home. See, as parents, we can talk about our love for God and His Son, but no amount of talk, however pious, can create the impression that we love God unless the relationship with the Lord Jesus actually exists, that it's real in your life. So we are to live it as parents to the best of our ability, that Jesus lives in our hearts, our hands, our feet, our hip pocket if necessary, and wherever else. It is only then that we can be effective in training our children. If we never speak to or show our children how real Jesus is in our own life, then do you think they will come to embrace the Christian faith? If we never pray with our children, if we never open the scriptures with our children, when we never see a godly example, do you think they will grow up to follow the Lord? I have my doubts. Of course, there are exceptions, because we have a merciful and gracious God. Sometimes the worst parents have the best children, the most godly children. I understand that. But it's not the general rule. We as parents need to be in heart what we would have our children be in life. We must live near to our Saviour God if we are to make God real to our children. Our children should be able to say of us that we as parents loved God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and that we love Him for what He has done for us in Jesus Christ. It's a question we need to ask ourselves as parents, don't we? Can our children see that in us? Is that a priority for us as parents? Now, having answered the question for ourselves as parents, we need to ask the important question for our children. What's most important to teach our children? Well, obviously it is to love God and what He has done for them in Christ. That's the most important thing. Yes, we need to teach them social manners. We probably need to teach them to have a good dress sense, have a good education. All these things are important, but they're actually secondary to the most important thing. We need to train them to love the Lord. The word training in our text is an imperative. It has the force of a command. In other words, as parents, we don't have an option. We can't just take it or leave it. There's a command here. We must train our children. And the root meaning of the word used has two primary meanings. We are to make narrow, so if you like, we are to put boundaries in place for our children. And then the second meaning is that we have to put into the mouth for taste and nutrition. Both apply. To make narrow has this idea of restraint, putting in boundaries. We need to restrain their unruly behaviour when required. We need to train them to behave in a manner that is acceptable. We need to train their tongues, their thinking, their actions. But be careful. If that is all you do, you will more than likely provoke your children. You will exasperate them. So we need to have a balance. So we need to teach them in a way that our Christian faith, that our love for the Lord is also tasty and nutritional. In other words, we need to include the positive aspect of this command. And the most tasty and nutritious training a child can receive are the things of God. They need to be trained to behave and love and care and speak as Jesus did. They need to be trained how to love God, who laid down His life for them in the person of His Son. Again, it's not an option. It's not an option. It's an imperative for us as Christian parents. They need to be taught that Jesus, who has risen from the dead, prepared a way for them to enter life, eternal life, when their days are done on earth. They need to know, no matter what happens in life or how often our cages rattle, Jesus has promised to be with us to the end. All positive things. Have you done that as parents? It's a challenge, isn't it? We need to show them that God is faithful, that He will not let us slip out of His eternal hands. We need to teach them that we have all the riches in Christ, so that all those riches will drive their lives. And if we do this, then the promise according to our text is that when they are old, they will not turn from it. Now, I've spoken a fair bit to parents, for I believe this is addressed to parents, but our children and teenagers are not exempt. For many have reached an age where they can respond to their parents' training in a more deliberate and positive way. As someone once said, when I was 7 years old, I thought the sun shone out of my parents. When I was 14, I thought, well, they're not quite as smart as what I thought they were. And when I got to 18, I didn't think they knew anything. But by the time I reached 25, I thought, well, they've learned a lot in the last few years. Young people, teenagers, Scripture instructs us to honour our parents. Oh, I know, my kids keep telling me this too. Dad, you haven't got it always right. I know that. We don't always have it right as parents. But we are to honour our parents. In other words, we are to love them. Consider them better than ourselves. So young teenagers, children, how often do you pray for your parents? How often do you say, Lord, I know they were wrong, but I still love them. That's fine. Let me close. I wish to comfort and encourage parents who have children who have strayed. I mentioned it earlier in the message that this causes many of us untold anguish and pain and many tears. Now, as Christian parents, of course, we cannot condone or affirm their wrongful actions. But we must keep loving them. We must keep loving them. Isn't that what God did for us? He loved us when we were unlovable, when we were his enemies. He sent his son to die for us. Keep loving them. Keep praying for them. Keep the doors of communication open as far as it depends upon you. Keep showing them your love for the Saviour you trust for your eternity. If not in words, then in actions. Keep looking out for them. Just like the father did for the prodigal sons. Live it, breathe it, make it your heartbeat. One day, who knows? The Lord knows. In God's time and by his grace, these dear ones may be confronted with life's most important questions. Maybe they'll stand beside an open grave with you one day, as many of us have already done. And they'll be confronted with some important questions. Where am I going? What purpose do I have in life? Is there life after death? We know the answer, but may they also get to know the answer. And maybe they will answer that question by what they see in you today, or by what they were taught when they were young. It may come back to their minds and they think, wow, my parents taught me that when I was young. There's life after death, thanks to our wonderful Saviour. May God be merciful to us and to our children. Aaron and Jess, may you enjoy the wonderful gift of new life that the Lord has granted you. May you train Paige in God's ways, and may God receive the glory. And that you as parents may enjoy the Lord Jesus forever with Paige and any more children that you may have. That's our prayer for all our children, isn't it? I once spoke to a grandmother and said, I wish I could drag my children and my grandchildren into heaven. We can't. But we can love them. And we can train them when they are young. May the Lord help us to do that, and may He bless our efforts.